Okay, so our June breakfast here, and yeah, tomorrow is the celebration of Pentecost for 2017, and sort of interesting, a lot of people don't realize that Pentecost, which is actually the Feast of Weeks, it was a Jewish high day. It was one of the three major Jewish festivals, which also meant that everybody was at the temple on the day of Pentecost. You know, it was not a... a lot of people teach that, you know, the Holy Spirit was originally given in the upper room. Well, that's not... If you do a little bit of study, you find out that's really not the case. Because it indicates, if you read later on in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, which is the chapter, we're going to read the first four verses, but as you read through that, you find that they were in the temple during the third hour of the day, which is an hour of prayer. The Jewish custom was there were 5 hours of prayer. Third hour, which is approximately 9 o'clock a.m. The sixth hour, the ninth hour. And I think there might have been, I can't remember, first, third, sixth, and ninth, and 12th. I think there might have been like that. I think there was 5 hours of prayer every 3 hours. But the third hour of prayer was at 9 a.m. And the apostles were all in the temple. That's when the Holy Spirit was given. It was given in the temple. And I believe God did it that way so that everybody would see it. Because everyone went to the temple. And that was the celebration originated when the Jews entered the Promised Land. That was their day of remembrance and thanksgiving. And that is the second of three Jewish festivals. The other two are Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm trying to remember when Tabernacles is, but I think it's in the fall. Yeah. So those are the three. So Pentecost is right in the middle of that. And it's called Pentecost because it's 50 days after the resurrection. Now, I want to read these verses in Acts chapter 2, the first four verses. It's kind of an interesting, the whole event, which is the culmination. Pentecost is really the culmination of what Jesus accomplished. We know that he was ascended 40 days after his resurrection. He was ascended. And 10 days after that is this day right here. Now, when Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth, he told his apostles to wait for the promise of the Father. We read that a while back. Wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. They didn't know how long they'd be waiting. It turned out to be 10 days. Not that long. But I love the way this is written here in Acts. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, which is in itself an interesting, fully come. The reason it's written that way, I believe, is that in God's plan, God had this in mind from the very beginning. But all these other things had to happen before this could occur. Jesus had to be born. He had to live. He had to be sacrificed, die. He had to be raised. He had to ascend. And he is the one, God gave him the job of giving out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He said, I will send the promise of the Father, is what Jesus said when he was instructing his apostles. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, which is right at that day, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord, so they were kind of, they were all on the same page. They were united. They were in one, the same place. And that place, as I said, I believe was the temple, because it was an hour of prayer. And suddenly, just, you know, 1 minute you're doing one thing, next minute something else. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And the temple is often called the house, by the way, so that, you know. But it filled. I can imagine what that must have been like all of a sudden to hear that. I don't know exactly what it sounded like. A rushing mighty wind. It was like that. They weren't in a tornado, but it must have sounded like that, I guess. Other than the fact that nothing, you know, it doesn't say that anything blew around, or it just said there was a sound. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. It wasn't fire, but it was like as if it were fire. It appeared like that. Now it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, in later translations. I'm reading King James. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now the interesting thing about this part here, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit didn't make them speak. It gave them the utterance. They did the speaking. See, people get that all messed up, and they want God to control them, to move their mouth, to, you know, and some groups teach that and do that. You know, they say the Spirit, they get slain in the Spirit and get thrown around the room and all this other kind of nonsense, and that's all it is. It's just wrong teaching. They're not bad people, but it is wrong understanding of Scripture, because God is a free will God, never violates it. And people say, well, yeah, but I told him it was okay. No, he doesn't operate that way. God is a God of, he will make it available and then you do it. So you can speak in tongues because you have the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't make you do it. I can do it right now, and I'll do it just quickly so you see what I mean. I don't know what I just said, but I know I spoke in tongues. Now, normally you don't do that out loud unless you're going to interpret. But as a demonstration, you know, as a teaching aid. So literally, the part that we do is we do the speaking, the act of speaking, moving your mouth, your tongue, your lips, your throat, everything that it takes to speak. That's our job. But the fact that you have the Spirit is what makes it possible for you to do that. And no, you're not making up words. But it's a simple walk of faith. Most people think that's too easy. Well, God never said faith was difficult. He said faith was so simple that a child could do it. So, but it's very interesting that it's right there in that verse. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We read last month about what speaking in tongues is, what it does. It's prayer. It's prayer of the Spirit. And that is what the culmination of what Jesus came to do and to make available to us. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, once again, we have the perfect Spirit, holy, cannot be defiled, cannot be corrupted. The Spirit cannot sin. We've read that before. We sin, but the Spirit part can't, because it comes from God and it cannot sin. That's the only way God could give us something that can't sin, because we sin, right? You know, Gino always says we're sinners. Well, yeah, we are. But the Spirit can't, because God made it that way. And that's what He had to do to make it possible for us to have a pure, holy, non-corruptible heart. And one of the things that gives you the ability to do is to pray in the Spirit, which is praying in tongues. And there are other things too, which you can read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There are 9 manifestations of the Spirit. But so Pentecost is, in my opinion, the most underrated holiday in the Christian church. We don't talk about it much in our church and most other churches. They talk about Easter. They talk about Christmas. They do not talk about Pentecost. And that's too bad. The devil doesn't want you to talk about it, because that's when you got the power to overcome the devil, is on Pentecost. Until that day, it wasn't available at that level. But we've got it now, and we've got that Spirit to have with us and to be our power base from now, for as long as we live. And that part is eternal life. That part you'll have forever. Now the body and the soul, that stuff will change when we get a new body at the end of this age. But during this lifetime, the Spirit you have now is the same thing you're going to have forever. That Spirit will never die. Your soul dies, your body dies, but that Spirit, never. So that's pretty amazing to think about that. And so that is what I think the immensity of the day of Pentecost is something we need to kind of grab hold of and pray and understand better, so that we truly can do the works of Jesus Christ in this life. That's what I wanted to share today.